Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
And here we go with not just another Tom on the Radio show, but this one is kind of special in the fact that Steve Baxley will be joining us in a few seconds from his palatial estates in Lansing and not in Jackson, Michigan. It was about 7 years ago this week that me and Blog Talk Radio first got together. I did my first show around this time 7 years ago, and as Sonny and Cher used to say, the beat goes on. So it's a good thing that there aren't too many things that has lasted 7 years. Well, maybe with a couple of breaks here and there, but the bottom line is we've been on and popping on this show most Mondays for the past 7 years. And for those of you who listen live or listen whenever and you support this show mentally and spiritually, we're going to keep this thing going, even if nobody listens, because the two of us listen, and that's all that matters. Steve Baxley, how the heck are you?
I am doing good, my friend. It is great to be on with you, and happy anniversary to you and BTR.
And believe it or not, I just thought that I was talking to you before the show, and in the moment of silence, I got thinking, I met Judge Kevin Ross about a week before this, 7 years ago, and he suggested to me to express myself that I get on Blog Talk Radio. And I owe a debt of forever gratitude to Boss Ross for turning me on to Blog Talk Radio. It's been a blast. And thanks to you, Steve, it has been a blastier blast. So I thank you in advance for hanging with me for most of the 7 years I've been on Blog Talk Radio.
It has been a blast. It has been a pleasure. It is always an honor.
Okay. And before we go to the topics du jour, it's time to do a little pimping here. And I ain't talking about the kind that ain't easy. I'm talking about the pimping of your special election night show called The Last Call Cafe, special election edition, tomorrow night at 11:30 on these same Blog Talk airways, where me, you, and JTB doing the election postmortem like no other does.
Yes, and it came to me, for all of you listening in, either live or on archive, you got to remember the days when Comedy Central, well, along with, they had Dennis Miller hosting their election coverage. They called it Indecision, you fill in the blank of the year. They would have live coverage of the State of the Union, which they called State of the Union Undressed, and, of course, live coverage of the election. They even, and if it wasn't for Dennis Miller and the early days of Comedy Central doing this, we wouldn't have the Daily Show, folks.
No, that was the offspring of the Daily Show, right, to come the election night coverage.
That's right. Okay. So, and they haven't done it since then. And so I decided maybe a couple of weeks ago, I decided it's time to bring it back, but in the way it should be. So I decided that tomorrow night we're going to try it, the first ever special. We usually do a New Year's Eve special, but with this being the biggest, most important election in the free world, I'm going to try it. So tomorrow night, 11:30, it's a Last Call Cafe special. It's called Electoral Dysfunction 2016.
Or
what the election has done to us, we are going to do to it.
Getting even from such a chaotic campaign.
That's right. The special is mainly going to be me, Tom O'Neill, Jay the Brain Man, maybe the one and only Mr. Mike L.A. Sparks. And we're going to do the election coverage uncensored, unbridled, unforgivable, unprofessional,
like
and unwritten.
Like we do on all our shows.
Yes, like we do, especially on Friday night.
I wonder will our friend call in and take up almost all of your time.
Oh, probably. I have no idea. That's what I love about spontaneity. That's what I love about the unpredictability of our show for our little special tomorrow night. But what the networks are going to do for like 4, 8, 12, 19 hours, we're going to do in a nice, lovely 30 minutes, but we're going to do it with smart comment or more. Well, yeah, have the election afterglow. We'll have the election afterglow. And by the way, if your election coverage lasts 4 hours or even over 4 hours, don't forget to call your doctor.
Oh, yeah. Got to call that. But the one advantage you will have our night that we don't have tonight is, by very likeliness, we should know who the 45th president of the United States will be.
That's right. And we will be joined not only by yourself, Jay, Mike Sparks. We will also be joined by Colonel Harlan Sanders and his brother Beauregard. We will also have a report from the Vatican, and the Pope will also beam in. We will take you beyond sense and sensibility and treat this election the way it should be treated, with no holds barred comedy. That's right. That's right. We're going
Telling
to get
the spell
we're
coverage.
To, That's right. We're going to give, well, let's put it this way. Much like Viagra, we're going to give your straw polls a little upsurge.
That little blue pill.
That's right. If you checked out the little ad I made, yep, our little Jazzy Moon logo got his own little Viagra ad, so we're all ready for it. We're all ready for it. It's no holds barred. We will have the results of, yes, the main election, but there'll be other little tidbits. We've got our Franklin Pangborn ensconced in the Election Central update desk at our Last Call Cafe studios.
We may not have results for this election coverage, but the election that's going to interest me is going to be in San Diego, Proposition C. The voters get to vote on, do they use public guaranteed bonds to build a new football stadium for the Chargers?
That's right. And
now they're claiming that this is not going to cost the taxpayers a dime, because all they're going to do is maintain and raise hotel taxes, so visitors will be paying most of the bill on this new bond.
Uh-huh.
They have to pass this to keep the football team in San Diego. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
This is true. So we're going to watch for the San Diego vote. We're also going to watch for the California vote, or as some have called it, Prop 60, the vote to put make condoms legal in adult films.
Hey now.
Hey now.
What do you mean legal? You say legal or illegal?
Legal. Legal. Make them top 60, if I understand it correctly, will be making condom use mandatory in all adult films.
Ooh, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, right now.
obviously for the males that we're talking about here.
Oh, boy.
I hate to, this sounds like I'm taking away your thunder for the election coverage tomorrow with these two things we just talked about, but you brought it up. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't say that. well, I didn't know that they hadn't actually, there's no law legislating condom use in adult films. I didn't know that. See, I learned something new tonight.
That's right, because right now it's like they say, it's not mandatory. It's, if you want to use it, go ahead, but just be careful. But now they're going to make it mandatory if it passes.
Oh,
so
man.
We'll have,
so just,
we'll,
just
we'll
want the adult film industry. Just, I bet you will. Just what the adult film industry needs, more like regulation.
Yeah, that's true. And, yes, we will cover it because just like Trojan condoms, we will be ribbed for your comedy protection. So hope everybody listens in. Yeah. Hope everybody listens in tomorrow night, 11:30 to midnight, and, of course, 10 extra minutes for the afterglow because let's put it this
whether
way.
It be regular,
we'll all be,
whether it be regular or supersized.
It all depends. It all depends.
Yeah.
But,
oh, that
but
is,
I hope
disgusting.
Well, I hope so.
Now, obviously, this was not on the script, but then again, what has been on this show? So I knew nothing about this, but you have gotten my interest arisen.
Anyway, so we hope everybody listens in and enjoys at least our election coverage because we want to make sure that when you go to bed with your loved ones, your polls will be strong to your lady friends. So you can vote in their ballot box. Thank you very much.
Hey, Steven, you don't have any dangling chads?
You may. Let's put it this way. Let's put it this way.
Let's put it
the only way we know how. There may be after the show. There may be some dangling chads, dangling Phils, and maybe a couple of dangling Stephanies. I have no idea, but it's going to be fun and exciting if everybody listens.
Well, hey, I'm glad to do a little foreplay on you to get yourself all. Fine tingly for the show tomorrow night. But we got this show to take care of before tomorrow night. And hopefully I will do it justice on my presence there because we know kind of what's going to happen, but until it happens, you can't assume because you know what they say, make an ass out of you and me. So I'm not in the ass-making category these days. I'm just going to say, hey, whatever happens, happens.
But, oh, man.
So let's.
I'm ready for anything.
I bet you is. Speaking of getting ready for anything, let's go to, we don't do the ESPN or the Fox or the Time on the Radio scoreboards here, but we must talk about those cardiac cats.
Boys.
What is What is with the Detroit Lions?
Oh, my lackus, Andy. They must have ate their Cheerios, man.
They're 4-3. They're back in the division race. They're a game behind the Vikings. Guess who they play Thanksgiving?
Not the Vikings.
Ah, yes. And they get their next, and they don't go on the road for a month. They got three straight home games. They got three straight home games with a bye thrown in.
Oh, boy.
It's laying out very nicely for the boys in Honolulu Blue.
I saw the game last night, and I was, like, shocked and amazed. Shocked that Minnesota, granted, you got that stadium. The team, you must have dug that new stadium rather deeper than usual, because Minnesota, they usually play Detroit with speed, with skill, with stamina. They look like
Are you trying to say Hillary Rodham Clinton has more stamina than the Vikings defense?
I guess I'm going to say this. My mom has more stamina than the Vikings did. I mean,
hey now. I can't say anything because I'm living in Virginia, so we didn't get to see the game. I didn't see the exciting fourth quarter highlights, but I probably saw the entire game. So you can comment a little more learnedly on the excitement of the Lions and the ineptness of the Vikings Queens.
Yeah, and I tell you, their kicker for the Lions, oh, man. Matt Prater. If he doesn't get an MVP award, oh, boy. If he does not get an MVP award or an award of some kind for what he did on Sunday, man, somebody better go over to the NFL and start checking Roger Goodell for a heartbeat, because
Roger Goodell needs to get checked anyway.
Yeah. He literally saved the team. And the game went into overtime, and then all of a sudden, Matthew Stafford, finally, after all these years of waiting, he was
killed by Cooter.
Joe Bob Cooter, once again, I will tell you this. He wanted a signature game. He got it Sunday afternoon. That overtime.
There's one other person that we need to talk about that saved the Lions bacon, and his name is Golden Tate.
Oh, the fleet of foot. Golden Tate was magnificent. And it's making everybody saying, Mega who?
Exactly. Mega who? It takes a couple of receivers to recreate the production that Charles Johnson did, but it's being done. So he has two quality receivers, Golden Tate and Anquan Boldin.
The Lions did us all proud on Sunday. And for once, no complaints about Jim Caldwell.
Because of Jim Bob Cooter, I'll keep saying that name because it rolls off the tongue so nicely.
Yes, and I'm going to say this to the Lions. You better keep Jim Bob Cooter in your staff. He is the golden
cost.
That's right.
At all
he
cost.
Is that gold. That's right. I mean, when they got Joe Bob Cooter, they didn't realize just how much gold this guy had. And Matthew Stafford, oh, man, what can you say? The man is now among the best.
If I was Master, I would get Matthew Stafford in my office in her Grosse Pointe home and say, Matthew, my boy, what would it take to keep you here? I will tear up your contract. Because I think he has a year after this one left.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but yeah. Because I'm a Matthew Stafford convert. I mean, I was a ye of little faith. But then again, I was probably jaded by all the inept quarterbacks we've had over the last two, 3 decades. But I'm just...
I mean, this is a Lions
team. I'm just thrilled.
I was excited. Like I said, I was shocked. I mean, usually when Minnesota and Detroit get together, it would be a one-sided game with Minnesota winning. But
Especially in Minnesota.
That's right. But Detroit's win really just got at the psyche of Minnesota so much that one of their players blamed the media.
This will give the candidate equal time. What is, I mean, this guy must be a Trump supporter.
What?
Yeah, when things go wrong, blame the media.
Yeah, I mean, the player just went right off on the media. Say, where were you guys? Come on. There's no business people out there. Come on, why are you bad mouthing us? We're the best. We're the Minnesota Vikings. I mean,
you're right.
But you don't blame the media, Sunshine. Look in the mirror.
No.
You guys had the Lions, but they were too tough for you.
Yeah. Did they blame the media for when the Bears did a wax job on them?
No.
That's so funny. When things go wrong in life, let's blame it on the media.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Minnesota, you lost to the Bears, you lost to the Lions. Why blame the media? Blame yourselves.
Blame the media. Yeah.
Well, the media's been reporting bad things on us. Well, you know what
mostly the media picks up on what they actually see. Nothing personal. Video don't lie.
This is true. So, to the Minnesota Vikings, all I have to say is this. Boo, ba boo, ba boo, hoo, hoo.
And you can't actually point to one particular thing that led to the downfall of the Vikings.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can say Teddy Bridgewater, but they got Matthew, I forgot his name. You got number 8. Maybe that's the problem with the Minnesota. They forgot who the quarterback is. You lost your best running back. And also you fired your offensive coordinator.
That sounded like Minnesota just now. I was choking.
Okay.
Who do the Lions play next week?
Ooh.
Who do the Lions play next week?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know either, but let's put it this way. I think somebody better call the... Yes.
Let's take a look. I have the schedule in front of me. The Lions... Hang on. The Lions playing... Oh, my goodness. The Lions have a bye week next week. No wonder. And then three straight home games. The first is with the other cats of the NFL, namely the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then, obviously, the Minnesota Thanksgiving Day game. And then... Lions, I'm slowing down the schedule here. They go to New Orleans after Thanksgiving, and then they come back home and play the lowly Chicago Cubs of Bears. So three of their next four home games will be home games. What they bye week thrown in? No team deserves a bye week more than the Detroit Lions. I'm very happy that the schedule for once is looking out for the Honolulu Blue.
That's right, and I'm not going to be afraid to say this. To say the P word, playoffs,
especially if the Vikings keep losing, because I'm not impressed with the Pack. I'm not all that impressed with the Pack whatsoever.
They used to be good, but something's wrong with the Pack.
I know. They're actually playing like meat packers. So I think the Lions are in pretty good shape when it comes to getting in the playoff, but maybe not as a wild card, but to win the division, because nobody is running away with this. Oh, by the way, the score with about 3.5 minutes left to play, Seattle 31, Buffalo 25. And Buffalo's getting ready to punt.
Very good. Yeah, I guess Buffalo really showed up for that game.
Hey, now. So before we get to square circle talk, how do you feel about the Cubbies breaking that 108-year winning losing streak and capturing the World Series?
Right now, there's a goat that is sleeping peacefully. And saying there will be no more curse. You have broken it. There are no more goats. There are only winners. I'm proud of Chicago.
And, of course, you can't forget Steve Bartman, who has had a curse of his own for the last few years. Now he can, I'm not going to say die in peace, but he'll have a clear conscience.
Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the gift. I mean, Steve Bartman can now do what he's never done since that moment in time. Step out.
Use a credit card.
Say hi. Yeah. Use a credit card, and of course, go outside and say, "Hi, I'm Steve Bartman."
Oh, we reached the bottom of the hour, and we are going to do some of our weekly wrestling talk. not really that much going on. I know we promised a Raw recap. There wasn't much going on, except they're setting up for the Survivor Series, would be dang due in a couple of weeks.
Survivor Series, or as I like to call it, the day the creative department finally does something right.
Oh, they still have a creative department?
No. No, but there is a story that is involving WWE at this moment. And our good friend Mike L.A. Sparks relayed this from a couple of very reliable sources that over the weekend, well, as you know, Billy Corgan was on his Twitter and gave a nice little opinion of TNA. As you know, he now is no longer affiliated with TNA. He did tell the people at Anthem Sports and Entertainment that they had until last week to pay him the remaining dollars on the loan that he gave TNA. They still owed him $1.8 million. And if they didn't pay him, he would take what he was owed and convert it to stock and sell it to the highest bidder. Well, TNA called this bluff. But I guess they didn't realize they weren't dealing with an idiot. Billy Corgan, over the weekend, was spotted in Stamford, Connecticut. I wonder who's in Stamford, Connecticut. Oh, yeah, the WWE. And by the way, 36%.
I thought it was Jerry Springer.
I thought it was Jerry Springer. But here's the thing. The money that was owed to him from Anthem Sports and Entertainment, well, he also had some stock. He also had some shares from TNA, about 39% stock in TNA. He converted that to a little equity, and he did make good with his threat. He sold it to Vince McMahon.
What? Whoa. Run that by me again. You said something about Billy Corgan sold 39% of his TNA stock to Vince McMahon?
Mm-hmm. 39% of the equity that he got from his little stint as being president and one of the creative folks behind TNA, he reportedly has sold that to Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
So it kills two birds with one stone. He gets his money back, and he stuck it to TNA.
That's right, but that's not the only little bad news for TNA. Yes, there's more. And apparently this one is really hurting TNA. You see, they're on two networks in England and in India. Well, England is their big the big money. They're seen on Challenge Television, which is the British equivalent to our game show network.
Okay.
And who owns Challenge? Sky Network, and that is owned by Rupert Murdoch. Little side of knowledge there. Well, Challenge TV decided to tell TNA, thanks, but we're not going to have your show on anymore because of low ratings. You've been canceled. So they have been scrambling to find a new UK television distributor. Apparently someone from Challenge TV has told all the distributors, do your background check on TNA before you even talk to them. And it must work because they were talking to a pay television network in Britain, and they did the background check and told TNA right to their face, no.
Oops.
So TNA is in trouble in England, And while they're still searching for a new television distributor for that area, they better take a look at the contract deal they have with India's Sony 6, because that deal is coming up for renewal. And a part of the deal they had with India's Sony 6 network is that they would have to be, they would have to at least tour India. They have not toured India since they canceled the last tour, which was in 2015. So can you say they got trouble big time? Yes, they can.
With a capital T. Yet alone, they don't have a viable TV outlet in the United States.
Well, they still got, they still have Pop TV, but
the magic word there, Steve, is viable.
Yes, that word.
Me.
The word is also. The word is also. Can they make money from it? I suggest for CBS and Lionsgate, the owners of Pop TV, they go back to maybe Paragon Pro Wrestling or West Coast Wrestling Connection, because I have a feeling before the year is out, TNA, well, they may be out.
They may be DOA.
If it's TNA to be DOA, that may be their new name, DOA, because they just got by a merchandise.
I'm still in shock. Steve, I'm still in shock about Vincent McMahon buying 39% of the equity of TNA, because that means he has a good hunk of shit. He has some callable stock shares that he could eventually call in, so he doesn't have to buy TNA because he owns a good chunk of it.
This is true. This is true. Now, if the report, and we've had two sources confirming that Corrigan did sell his shares to Vince McMahon, we're just waiting for the, as we say, other shoe to drop. But
shouldn't be that long.
I think we should update that song. You don't spit in the wind. You don't tear the mask off the old Lone Ranger. You don't step on Superman's cape, and you don't. And you
don't mess with Jim.
Don't mess with Jim, or in this case, don't P.O. Billy Corgan.
Because I'm sure he had this ace up his sleeve for as long as he's been at running TNA. I'd like to know how easily he let go of his ownership of TNA. Was he really forced out?
He was literally forced out when he lost his he lost the case, and Anthem paid him for his two loans, didn't pay him for his third, but it didn't matter. They technically, Anthem Sports and Entertainment, otherwise known as the Fight Network in Canada, they literally signed a deal and are now partners, financial partners with Dixie Carter. They own, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 85% Aerowatch, which is owned by two brothers. I forget their names, but they used to be the tag team champs for TNA. They own 10%, and Dixie Carter, the woman who said she would never give up her big stake, well, because of Billy Corgan, she's down to 5%.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So, Dixie,
This is still a hot mess.
So, Dixie, you and the TNA board of directors may have thought you were hiring a moron, but boy, did he put a fast one on you.
Yes, he did. He got He got his money back, and he got back at TNA.
That's right. That's the way he knows how. Plus, let's not forget, he has the inside dirt on TNA.
So what you're saying is it's just a matter of time.
Yes, it is a matter of time before, well, tragedies start, right? Yes, our McDonald's is open 24 hours. Yeah, talking to my producer, otherwise known as my mom.
Good person to talk to.
Yeah, but I will tell you, TNA, if you thought they were in trouble now, it's getting messier and messier and messier.
So if Vince McMahon is just like that vulture I keep talking about, just waiting around until TNA cannibalizes themselves and picks over the remaining carcasses.
Mm-hmm. He's just buying his time, and thanks to Billy Corgan, that time now includes a little part ownership, a little bit of a stake.
Well, 39% is not a little bit of a stake. Man, that's a good hunk.
That's a T-bone with mashed potatoes, a little gravy, and a nice chilled salad.
And a complimentary sweet tea.
Oh, yes.
So, like I say, it's just a matter of time because, and you were talking about last week, the Fight Network videotapes of TNA, which is what Vince covets the most. He could care less about the in-ring action and all that, but he wants that tape for his WWE network.
That's right, and he will get his hands on those tapes by any means necessary. So I would not want to be in Anthem's shoes at this moment.
No.
But as they always say, stay tuned, because this soap opera's got more twists than a huge pretzel.
Ooh. And not as tasty.
That's right. So it sure as heck gonna be fun to follow that.
Yeah, we'll probably get some more news on the Last Call Cafe Friday evening here on Blog Talk Radio. By the way, Buffalo is now down to the 7-yard line with less than 2 minutes left, and they're down by 6. So Buffalo might be squeaking this game out.
Wow!
All they need is a touchdown and an extra point.
That's right.
Yeah, but we about to reach the time limit, yet alone term limit, of our little gab fest that we had this evening on Tom on the Radio. Once again, Steve, I will be checking in tomorrow night to have some more laughs at other people's expense, especially those who are involved with the campaigns, but
it's going to be fun.
Yes, but even though we're not taking public stances on this election, I will say everybody who listens to me and yourself and myself vote.
That's right.
Yeah, people have
y'all
died and sacrificed.